This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Hey, it's getting to be, well, it is springtime.
It is.
We had spring last Tuesday officially.
Yep.
Yay.
Yes, it's been great.
Now the season matches up with the actual temperatures and things outside.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Because it was winter for a while and it felt like spring.
Yeah.
Sometimes it felt like early summer.
Yeah.
But it's, have you been out, have you grilled out yet?
Not yet, no.
Really?
I know.
I'm surprised. I kind of thought
I'm not a griller. I tend to try and leave that to Mike, and okay. He's been kind of out of town, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like doing stuff on the grill. I don't know why.
Okay, well, that's fine. Out walking now and again.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a chance to get out and go for walks and things. You always seem to smell someone out working the barbecue somewhere.
Yeah.
It just smells wonderful.
It does.
It's just one of those great feelings in the spring when you start to wander around through the different neighborhoods and you're smelling some brats or burgers or steaks or whatever on the grill.
Yeah.
Boy, it just seems to feel good. Well, we're coming up, and of course now May is beef month, and that's not too far away anymore. The Iowa Cattlemen's Association, Iowa Beef Industry Council, you know, they've already started their best burger in Iowa contest. They announced the winner in the month of May, but they've already pared it down to 10. They put the call out to folks, asked all the burger lovers across Iowa, because we are burger lovers.
Yeah.
Do you eat a fair number of burgers?
I eat a fair share. Usually if I go to a restaurant, I don't get a burger unless I'm really craving one, but I'm more of a chicken person, I think, for sandwiches.
Burgers tend to be a pretty popular choice for a lot of folks when it comes to the grill. And everybody has their own way. Some people buy the prepared ones. Some people like to pat their own ground beef and make big old fat ones. And some nights those are just wonderful.
Yeah.
Oof. Some nights they're just a lot. Everybody has their own way. But the question is, who has Iowa's best burger? Well, they asked folks around the state to nominate restaurants. And here's how it went, so far anyway. Now, they counted up the votes, and they listed the top 10 restaurants for 2012. So those move on to the next level. Now, what will happen is they'll announce the winner the first week of May of Iowa's Best Burger. But what happened was this is the third year they've done this. They received over 4,250 nominations, and then that named 212 different restaurants.
Wow. That's a lot to go through.
Yeah, 4,250 nominations, but in those nominations, 212 restaurants in total were named. So they counted them up, and the restaurants that got the most nominations were the top 10. There are a few of them here locally. In fact, one right here in town, the Farmer's Kitchen here in Atlantic, is one of those that was named as a top 10. Also, the Coon Bowl 3 up in Coon Rapids was one of those who was a top 10, along with the Ankeny Diner in Ankeny. Of course, the Drake Diner in Des Moines. Also on that list was Ferg's Lounge and Mai Tai's Restaurant in Grand Junction. So not terribly far from here, still in west central Iowa. I'm not sure how to pronounce this one. Perxactlys. Perxactlys?
No
Bar
idea.
And Grill? It's in Maquoketa. It's over in Maquoketa. Roscoe's in Norwalk. Rube's Steakhouse in Montour. Also in the Sac City Bowling Center in Sac City. And then the Ritz up at Arnold's Park. So those were the top 10. Those were the 10 that got the most nominations out of them. It covered over 130 communities, 212 restaurants in 130 communities across Iowa. So it shows, they're saying that it shows that Iowans and Iowa restaurants know that burgers will always be a popular item. Restaurants love to make them. Customers love to eat them. You got that right. So they are but what they're looking for, though, now is for folks to still kind of participate in a way. They won't announce Iowa's best burger until the first week of May, but the folks with the Iowa Cattlemen's Association and the Beef Industry Council were asking folks to still stop out to one of those top 10 restaurants for a burger because, obviously, they've got nominated for a reason.
Right.
They must be good. So the nominations were made from February 13th through March 16th. So the nomination process just ended a little over a week ago. And then the top 10 restaurants were the top vote getters when all the online, paper, and faxed in ballots were counted out. So those top 10 restaurants now will be visited by a secret panel.
I'd like to be on that secret panel.
Oh,
wouldn't that
boy.
Be great?
How good would that be? The top 10 restaurants will be visited by a secret panel of judges who will then evaluate the nominees' hamburgers for proper temperature for serving a ground beef patty, for appearance, and, of course, for taste. The winner will be named the first week of May as a kickoff to May Beef Month, and that winner will receive a plaque and some media recognition as well for their efforts. All the top 10 restaurants also will get a certificate. And if you want to know more about the contest, you can go to www.iabeef.org. Or you can just go to the Iowa Beef Council Facebook page and friend them, and that'll get you there too. But you'll find a map showing you the way to those top 10 restaurants as well. It's up actually this year. Last year, there were 3,500 nominations. This year, there were over 4,200.
Wow.
So it's obviously growing on the third year now for the best burger title. 3,500 nominations last year. The winner was the Rusty Duck over in Dexter. The Sac County Cattle Company in Sac City was the winner back in 2010, the very first time they did it. And if, you got that was the Sac County Cattle Company. You got the Sac City Bowling Center on this year's list, too. So,
uh-oh.
Well, I guess we got a regional thing going on there. So best burgers.
I wish they'd tell you which one it was.
Well, that's the thing, too, when you go into a lot of those restaurants like that, just to say it's the best burger, which one? Some of them have a lot of specialty burgers on there. I assume they all have their own favorites.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying. Every restaurant looks for its niche.
Yeah.
That's where it must be kind of fun to work in the restaurant business. I understand, like every business, there are probably some things that aren't so much fun. Cleaning up, for one. But to be able to just be creative. I mean, somebody who works and owns restaurants like that, they're probably a pretty creative person because they kind of get to experiment a little bit and have a little bit of fun with stuff.
Yeah.
If you were going to build the perfect burger.
Oh, boy.
Okay, now let's just.
There'd be so many toppings that would be able to fit in my mouth.
Let's just assume you're going to have a bun.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have the bun, and then you're going to have a hamburger.
Okay.
Okay. What else would be on it?
I like pickles and ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I'm trying to narrow it down so it's not too long. Mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So probably Swiss with that. Maybe a little caramelized onions. And some type of good sauce. I don't know what sauce, but some burgers, you know, you go to places and they have like a little special sauce. And that really kind of sends over the edge.
If you made that, I'd eat it.
I'd
be fine by me. I was thinking if I was going to build like the perfect burger, it would probably be, I kind of like you, I like Swiss cheese and mushrooms and the caramelized onions. I kind of like the mushroom and Swiss thing, type thing. But I'd also probably put a few slices of bacon on there.
Oh, how did I forget that? Yeah, definitely have some bacon.
Got to have some bacon on there. And I'd probably skip the ketchup and mustard thing.
Yeah.
I'd probably instead look for some sort of barbecue sauce.
Ooh. If you go with barbecue sauce, then you have to have like the fried onions with that. And that's good. And bacon.
Yeah, I think my heart just stopped for a second
just
thinking about it, but it's okay. It's a good thing. Everybody has their own, you know, everybody has their own ideas of burgers. I mean, for some people, it's just the standard ketchup and mustard, pickles and relish, or pickles, put some onions on it, or you know, whatever. I mean, some people just kind of have that standard image of what it should be. And
it's
other
classic.
People get a little bit more creative. I mean, I've seen people, you know, put things like blue cheese on them and different types of things. I mean, get all kinds of creative when it comes to I think that's the nice thing about hamburgers is that it can be whatever you want it to be.
It really can be, yeah.
I mean, you can really do just about anything with it, and that's what makes it kind of fun.
Yeah, you can do the cheese on the inside, Juicy Lucy.
A what?
A Juicy Lucy.
I never heard of that.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Put the cheese on the inside of the burger? I can't do it that well. We've tried, and it just oozes out, so.
I was going to say, how do you do that? You do that?
You're supposed to kind of form it.
Or something while you're.
I mean, you can do like a thin slice kind of in there, and you know, like. Separate the two patties and kind of put together. I think there's a certain way you have to like kind of form it and around the edges and the middle to mine just leak out though. So
I guess when we start talking about burgers, that's one thing we never even considered. How many patties are on your burger?
Depends on how thick the patties are, but usually I'm double, like a double cheeseburger type deal.
Do you like yours well done, medium, or barely browned?
It needs to be brown. No blood, please. Yeah, more on the done side. I can have a little pink, but not a lot.
Like it pink in the middle.
Yeah.
Pink, maybe slightly red in the middle is good. But yeah, it's just, but boy, the thought of putting bacon on there now.
Bacon's just good alone, so anything with bacon, I'm for.
Bacon, barbecue sauce, onions, mushrooms. I'm officially hungry now.
I was going to say, yeah, what are we having for supper tonight?
Yep, I'm done. That's it. I'm out. Thanks for coming this weekend. That's going to be our program. We've got to go eat.
Go on and on about food.
Well, we got some other food to talk about here, too. There are plenty of things going on here around the area for you to enjoy. Maybe some of them involve burgers. Who knows?
Yeah, never know. Well, on Sunday, the Griswold Community Choir will present an Easter cantata, Harvest of Sorrows. That's on March 25th at 1:30 at the Oakland Methodist Church and then at 4 at the Griswold High School. That's the Griswold Community Choir presenting their Easter cantata, Harvest of Sorrows, on March 25th at 1:30 at the Oakland Methodist Church and then at 4 at the Griswold High School. A soup supper will be held at Nathaniel Hamlin Park on March 25th from 5 to 7. It's just $7 for adults and then $3 for children 10 and under. And they will be serving vegetable beef, chili, chicken noodle, and salmon soup with sandwiches, bars, and drink. And that's sponsored by the Audubon County Historical Society. That's a soup supper at the Nathaniel Hamlin Park on March 25th from 5 to 7. The public's invited to attend the Nishna Valley Trails Association meeting. That's on March 26th. That's from 6 to 7 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. And they'll be going over updates on the development of trails in Cass County and Atlantic, reports on work with city and county partners, plans for the community bicycling promotion, which will be held on April 30th, work and fun days on the T-Bone Trail, and promoting the use of safety helmets. That's the Nishna Valley Trails Association meeting on March 26th from 6 to 7, and that's at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. A soup and dessert supper with the Friends of the Elliott Public Library is on March 28th. That's at the Elliott Community Building from 5 to 7. It's for a free will donation. You can come join them for great food and fellowship. It's the Friends of the Elliott Public Library's annual soup and dessert supper on March 28th at the Elliott Community Building from 5 to 7. Well, it's getting to be that time of year again. It's for kindergarten screening for the 2012-2013 school year. It's on March 29th and the 30th at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. So if your child turns 5 years of age by September 15th, 2012, you'll need to call the Washington Elementary School at their number. It's 243-5234 and make an appointment for an hour screening session. Your child's screening will include vision and hearing checks and then a kindergarten readiness assessment. You'll need to bring your child's birth certificate and immunization records to the screening, and parents will also learn what is required for your child to attend kindergarten. There is no cost for the screening. Then in April, your child will get to come visit the kindergarten classroom. You'll receive a letter by mail with the time your child will visit. That's the kindergarten screening for the 2012-2013 school year on March 29th and 30th. That's at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. A Red Cross blood drive will be held in Atlantic on March 29th at Molly. That goes from 11 to 4. The annual meeting of the Progressive Rural Iowa Development Enterprise will take place on March 29th at 7 p.m. at the Nita Community Center. That evening's speaker will feature Lynn Adams, Development Specialist for Iowa State University Extension Community Economic Development. And then she'll describe the benefits of Buy Iowa Online. It's an internet commerce website owned by Pride, where eligible vendors can sell their Iowa products to the world without having to create and maintain their own websites. The website is buyiowaonline.com. And for more information on the meeting, or if you'd like to join Pride, you can contact Randy Baxter, the president. He's from Marnie. That's the Pride meeting on March 29th at 7 at the Anita Community Center. St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic is having a Hope for Haiti fundraiser for the Orphanage Danita's Children, Hope for Haiti Children's Center. It's going on now through April 1st. The children in Sunday School, After Five, God Squad, and Senior High, they're selling Yankee Candle products, also Little Caesar's Pizza, Cookie Dough, and Breadstick kits. They're also selling religious multicolored bracelets for $1. And for each bracelet sold, one also goes to a child at the orphanage. They'll have someone selling before and after each church service at church on Wednesday Lent services, Saturday nights, and both morning services on Sunday. They do have order forms available at the church office during the week, and donations are also being accepted if you'd like to help out but don't want to buy one of the products being sold. Red Oak Eagles Lodge is having a spaghetti supper. That's on March 31st. Starts at 5:30, and proceeds from that go to the Montgomery County Crime Stoppers. They'll also have a live auction, a 50-50 drawing, and spaghetti supper. It's for a free will offering. And Jim and Kathy Wymore and friends will also be there playing country, rockabilly, old-time rock and roll. If you'd like to donate auction items, you can contact the Red Oak Eagles Lodge at 623 3125. That's the Red Oak Eagles Lodge Spaghetti Supper on March 31st, and that starts at 5:30. The Pony Express Riders of Iowa, they're having a spring benefit dance supporting the Easter Seals Camp Sunnyside in Des Moines, which is a camp for adults and children with disabilities. That's held on March 31st, and that's from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. at the Magnolia Community Center. The band Fork in the Road will be playing, and it's just $5 per person to get in. They'll also have pizza by the slice, a raffle and auction, and everyone is welcome to attend. It's the Pony Express Riders Spring Benefit Dance on Saturday, March 31st, and that's from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. The Cumberland Fire Department's Pork Chop Supper is on April 7th, and that's at the Cumberland Fire Station from 5:30 to 8. It's $8 for the pork chop dinner, or they have a kid's meal for $3, which is a hot dog meal. That's the Cumberland Fire Department's Pork Chop Supper. Again, that's on April 7th at the Cumberland Fire Station from 5:30 to 8.
Well, good. Lots of stuff. You know, I'm actually seeing some Easter things start to roll in here, too. I've got a couple of notes here about Easter egg hunts. The annual Anita Easter Egg Hunt was scheduled for Saturday, April the 7th. That's at 10:30 a.m. at the Colonial Manor. So they want folks to come early to make sure they have a place to park. Kids will start hunting the eggs at 10:30 sharp. And they say they're going to try something new this year, too. They're going to distribute the prizes more fairly to ensure all the large items are limited to one per child. Now, the Easter eggs that they will hunt will be empty. However, once they turn in the eggs, then they'll have a goodie bag, and that bag may be tied to... And in that bag may be a winning ticket for a large prize, too.
Ooh.
So they're going to give more kids a chance to win large prizes. It's never fun when everybody goes, when one kid goes home with, like, the TV and the bicycle.
Oh, yeah, no. Spread it around.
Are those two larger prizes?
Yeah, I don't know if
perhaps.
Getting that, but.
Saturday, April 7th, 10:30 a.m. at Colonial Manor in Anita. That's their Easter egg hunt. Also, Messina Chamber will have their Easter egg hunt on Friday, April 6th, and that'll be in the city park at 6 p.m. in Messina. Donations and volunteers are also needed by April 1st to make the event successful. If you want to make donations, drop them off at the First National Bank in Messina, and volunteers can contact Phyllis Stakey, Nancy McCunn, or Teresa Stender. So if you want to know more, contact those folks. But put it on your calendar, the Messina Chamber of Commerce annual Easter egg hunt, again, Friday, April 6th at the city park at 6 p.m. Kids like those things.
Yeah.
Did you do Easter egg hunts when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You did one just last week, didn't you?
No.
Oh.
Nope, yep. We always went to the Griswold one there at the park.
Good time. I can remember doing that a few times when I was a kid. They were a little different where I'm from, but it was there were just a lot more kids.
I remember you had a race to the end to get
yeah,
the A.
Yeah. Sometimes it could be like a football or a rugby match. Also, the Adair Casey High School will host a blood drive this Monday, March 26th. That'll be from 1:30 to 6 p.m. That's at the high school. You can contact Amy Ruland, Karen Eads, or Colleen Rupert to make your appointments. Again, that's Monday, March 26th. This coming Monday, 1:30 to 6 p.m. at the Adair Casey High School, the blood drive there. Also coming up here very soon, the Atlantic Business and Professional Woman's Spring Craft Show is on Saturday, March 31st. Get that on your calendar. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Cass County Community Building here in Atlantic. Put that on the calendar. Coming up next weekend already. March is almost over.
Oh, man.
Next week is Extension Week here throughout Iowa, and the some of the area extension offices are doing some things to celebrate. In Cass County, they're going to have an open house on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, March 27th, from 3 to 6 p.m. It'll be open to the public. There'll be door prizes and snacks, and they just want to kind of give you an idea of what goes on in the local extension offices. You probably think that sometimes that extension, well, that's for farmers. You know, that's for the rural folks who grow things, raise things, you know. But extension really has something for everyone. And even if you don't realize directly that you've been affected by extension, you probably have. So there are some things that they do. Also, they'll have a coloring contest, trivia contest, and some other things going on as well. Check them out online at www.extension.iastate.edu/cass. I know that's a lot. It's the easy way. Go to kjan.com.
Yeah, there you go. We'll have the link.
Click on the links page and then find local extension offices, and then you'll find it there too. So, but again, that's coming up this Tuesday, March 27th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the extension office here in Atlantic. That's up on the fairgrounds there at the community building. Also, the Messina Chamber of Commerce will be holding its annual supper and dinner and whatever else you want to call it. It's their annual meeting, dinner, that type of thing. It's coming up on Sunday, April 1st at the Main Street Bar and Grill. They'll have a social hour at 5:30, dinner served at 6:30. Now, Mid-American Energy will have the guest speaker for the evening. They'll highlight the Rolling Hills Wind Project that's been going on, talk about all of the impact there. Reservations are required, and they need to be made before March 29th, so you're running short on time. There are some different names here. It says Phyllis, John, or Teresa. You can call to make your reservations. You probably know who those folks are if you're interested in attending. Annual dues can be paid on the night of the meeting, or you can drop it off at the First National Bank in Messina. The dues are $10 for individuals, $25 for businesses, and that includes a meal. So they hope to have a lot of folks show up for that. That's the Messina Chamber of Commerce annual meeting, Sunday, April 1st at the Main Street Bar and Grill. Social hour at 5:30, dinner served at 6:30. They are hoping for a nice, nice crowd. One other thing I wanted to throw in here, too, I almost forgot about. This is kind of interesting. If you have an interest in history at all, I think you're going to really enjoy this. I think this would be something that you would really like to do. It's coming up in Avoca, April 5th and 6th. It's a Civil War traveling exhibit. That's kind of interesting. I don't know if you have an interest in history or anything like that.
What?
Huh? What happened yesterday? I don't remember.
I like to hear about it. I'm just not good at remembering all the details and the dates and, you know, but it is interesting. It's good to know.
I love history. I really enjoy history a lot. That was one of the things I really enjoyed in high school and college. And I've always had an interest in different types of things. Civil War is always something that's interested me. I'm a big fan of Abraham Lincoln. And I read a lot of different books on Abraham Lincoln. I just finished reading Killing Lincoln. It was an interesting kind of background look at the moment-to-moment things that happened leading up to and then shortly after he was assassinated. I really enjoy reading and watching programs and things about the Revolutionary War, some of those types of things. So this exhibit, I'm definitely going to go to the exhibit. But the exhibit, it's a Civil War traveling exhibit from History on the Move by the Iowa State Historical Society. So you can see actual Civil War memorabilia, including some personal stories of Iowa soldiers, historic documents, maps, and artifacts, plus information and records of Iowa's role in the Civil War. And that's all going to be at the Farmall Land Museum parking lot in Avoca, Thursday, April 5th and Friday, April 6th. The hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. both days. Now, it's free because the Newtown Avoca Historical Society and the Town and Country Junior Federated Clubs have taken care of coordinating and paying for all this kind of stuff. So it's free to folks who want to come in. Admission's free. All ages are welcome to come tour that. If you're not sure where the Farmall Land Museum parking lot is in Avoca, it's located at Exit 40. If you're Long I-80, take Exit 40. And it's right near the Embers Restaurant as you head in toward town. So you'll see it there. But it's really kind of, I think that's going to be pretty interesting. It's something that's put together by EMC Insurance Companies, The Fiery Trial, the Iowa and the Civil War. It's housed in a 32-foot trailer that travels around to different locations just to put on the exhibit for folks. It also includes, part of it is the History on the Move Educational Outreach Program. It began about 3 years ago with an exhibit about President Abraham Lincoln's ties to Iowa. More than 25,000 Iowans have viewed that exhibit. So lots of different things in there. There's a visual timeline of Iowa's participation in the Civil War and exhibits about Iowans and their Civil War experiences. Information about Annie Wittenmeyer, a sanitation agent for Iowa who oversaw the needs of Union Army soldiers. The impact of the Civil War on the state of Iowa. The role that Iowa played in the civil rights movement when it approved the right to vote for blacks. Also, a computer program that allows visitors to research Civil War ancestors by person, town, township, or congressional district, and lots of other things. So, the Newtown Avoca Historical Society and the Avoca Women's Junior Federated Club helping to get that organized this year. Should be a lot of fun. I hope a lot of folks get a chance to visit that. Again, that is Thursday, April 5th, and Friday, April 6th, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., both of those days at the Farmall Land Museum parking lot there in Avoca. So they put a little effort into getting this put together. Hope folks make the effort to go check it out. Now, we need to take that quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left to visit with you here, so we better get after some important stuff here, like birthdays.
Yes. I would like to wish happy 80th birthday to Winifred LeMaster. She's celebrating her 80th birthday with a reception on Sunday, March 25th at the Grizzled Community Center from 2 to 4, so you can join them for refreshments and visit with old friends. Happy birthday to Winifred Win LeMaster, celebrating her 80th birthday on Sunday, March 25th from 2 to 4 at the Grizzled Community Center. Over at the Friendship Home in Audubon, we have some birthdays. Happy birthday to Sue Duvall on March 26th and also to Wilma Leyland on March 26th. And happy birthday to Louise Chihak on March 28th. Over at the Exira Care Center, happy birthday to John Nelson, celebrating his birthday on March 30th.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
That's all you got. All right. We also have one other note here, too, we wanted to share with you before we're finished this weekend. The Atlantic BPW.
Oh, you didn't talk about this yet, did you?
Yeah, they're offering three different scholarships this year. They have a $1,000 scholarship that will be awarded to a resident of Cass County to give financial aid to either a man or a woman who is out, who's been out of school for a while and needs education to re-enter the workforce, to gain additional education for a career or meet educational requirements for employment, or to continue their education if it was interrupted by family or other personal reasons. So those applications need to be submitted by April 1st. So that's coming up rather quickly. There's also a $500 Cullen Scholarship, they're calling that. It's available for any female resident of Cass, Shelby, or Audubon County who is pursuing a degree in computer science, management information systems, computer systems management, chemistry, or engineering. That student may attend full or part-time of any age, and applications must be submitted by April 1st. Also, the Business and Professional Women of Iowa will be awarding several scholarships to a man or woman who is a resident of Iowa. The applicant has to be a non-traditional student who is a United States citizen, has been out of the workforce, and wants or needs to go back to work, but needs additional education, has completed high school 5 or more years ago, is hoping to start or resume their college education, and also demonstrates financial need, the scholastic ability, leadership skills, and career goals. So all of those applications need to be postmarked fairly soon. Now, this one needs to be postmarked by March 31st. You can contact Becky Bonney at 243-3935 if you'd like to pick up an application for that. So again, the two scholarships have April 1st deadlines, the other March 31st. It's all about the same. Mm-hmm. It's all coming up here in about a week, so you don't have a lot of time to get into that. But all scholarships are very important. We all know how expensive higher education is. So even the scholarships that, you know, it's great to get those $10,000 and $50,000 scholarships, but there are not a lot of those out there.
No.
$500 and $1,000 scholarships are good, too. And if you can start totaling a few of them up, it adds up in a
really
hurry.
Helps.
Yeah, it really does help a lot. So if you are interested in those, contact Becky. Again, that number 243-3935, and she can hook you up with an application so you can have an opportunity to apply.
Yeah.
Very good. That's about all the time we have. What else you got? Anything exciting? That's it? That's all?
Yeah, that's kind of it.
It's kind of it. You're just tired all the time.
Yeah, he's been really rolling over a lot. So he'll roll over in his crib and start kind of whimpering, you know, and go check on him and he'll be awake for maybe a little bit, hold him, and he'll go back to sleep. But
her little boy learned a new trick.
Yes. He's rolling over like a madman.
Wait till he starts crawling.
I know.
And walking.
I keep waiting for him to do it and try, you know, here, this is how you do it. Moves arms and stuff.
And then all of a sudden, one day, he'll be dating.
Yeah. Mom's just like, you want him to crawl so bad now. You just wait, though.
It's all over.
So, yeah.
That's all the time we have. She has to go back to nap.
Yes.
This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.